One proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the D.C. It is Saturday, the 16th of February, Anno Domini 2013, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. The hangout is in views. So we're good to go there, and let's start with the news. Dutch programmer Johannes Josef Everardus Vandermeer is suing Facebook over its like button. Companies get sued all the time, of course, so why do we care? Well, aside from having a very nifty name, Vandermeer is actually dead. He passed away in 2004, just as Facebook was beginning to take over the world. Why is he suing now? Vandermeer was the founder of Surfbook, a social diary-type service where people could share stuff with friends and like things with a like button. If that sounds a heck of a lot like some other site with book in its name, well, now you know why lawyers are rich. The lawsuit claims that Facebook bears a remarkable resemblance, both in terms of its functionality and technical implementation, to the personal webpage diary that Vandermeer had invented years earlier. Vandermeer was awarded patents in 1998 for Surfbook, patents that presumably include the like button. But Vandermeer is dead, so why does he care about lawsuits? Well, Rembrandt Social Media, a patent holding company, is the one that'll be doing the suing, but Vandermeer's widow and his colleagues will testify in the trial about the importance of his invention. Sometimes people want credit for their work, and other times patent holding companies want money for those people's work, even when they're dead. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Facebook is being sued by a dead man. And your choices are, of course, like, comment, and share. So far we have 30 votes. Most of you like this. Of course, I know you. Simply liking this is not nearly enough for you. So when you're done liking or commenting or sharing, check the yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Where you can enter your opinion. And so far, we've got six people who've done that, and several of them actually stayed on topic, which was kind of a change, and that's nice. And then when you're done with that, come on back here, because that's our question to you. Well, it's not a question. It's Facebook is being sued by a dead man. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. You can also join us on the IRC chat, where approximately a dozen people usually show up. Yep, a dozen. Well, some of those will be bots, but most of them are humans-ish, human-ish. I mean, they listen to this show. And you can also join us on the Google Plus chat. Smiley's already there. Hiya, Smiley. Can you hear me, actually? I can't hear you. I got to mute this for the show, so you'll have to type in the group chat, or you just nod. No, I can't hear you. Honestly, I can't. You probably can't hear me then. Okay. I can't. I haven't got time for that right now. I got to do other things right now. So let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Barry from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Barry. What's up?
Hi. I'm trying to get you guys, like I listen every Saturday. I can't get you on my digital 90.1 radio frequency. and I'm trying to stream, and I've tried at jazz901.org, and I've also tried over at the Ustream, and I can't get you anywhere.
What happens when you try?
Nothing. I get nothing. In fact, I'm looking at the Jazz 90.1 website right now, and up in the right-hand corner, Listen Live, I click that button, and I get nothing. And I did confirm by going to another online radio station, everything here is working, but I can't receive any signals from you. Then I also went down on that page and clicked Listen Live via high speed.
Oh, so you are getting the page then?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting the page, but I'm not getting any connection to any audio anywhere.
Yeah, the Listen Live via high speed opens your MP3 streaming application, so you need to have an application installed for that.
Yeah, and it does.
Are you blocking it somehow?
No. In fact, it asked me, do I want to allow this? And I said, yep, and I'm allowing it, but not getting anything. Now, if I'm the only guy, then I'll have to figure out what's going on, but I can't get you through the air on the digital 90.1. And I can't get you to stream no matter what I try.
Okay, a couple of things. When you click on Listen Here Live via high speed,
yep.
What that actually does is downloads a file to your computer.
Yeah.
Called jazz901stream.m3u.
That's right. I understand.
Then you double click on that, and what happens?
Nothing.
Then you must not have a program to run.
But even at that point, something should come up and say...
You don't have a program.
Well, that's not nothing. Tell me what actually comes up, please.
Well, it says, do I want to allow this through? And I click yes, and then I get a bar, which is like a normal sound bar that would progress across. And it just has the little wheel going on it, like it's trying to catch the station. And I'm getting nothing past that.
How long do you wait for that?
I've given it 2 minutes so far.
Yeah.
What program are you using for the stream?
You mean the browser?
No, the program that plays the stream, that opens the M3U file.
Yeah, when you double-click on that M3U file, you set up, you see the bar. What do you see the bar on?
QuickTime.
Are you on a Mac?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I know iTunes will play it. I would have assumed QuickTime could play it too, but QuickTime may not.
And when I click it, it says it says always run this site or run this time, and so I click run this time, and it worked before. It worked last weekend.
Okay.
And all I get is the QuickTime version of the beach ball. The little arrow going around.
We just had a listener call in and said he had the same issue. He said instead of hitting the high, hit the low.
Oh, let me try that.
Hit the low.
Let me try that.
Yep.
Okay.
It may be that his stream is not
fast enough. Yeah, hit the low.
Okay, I just hit the low, which says for dial-up.
That's okay. We're voice. It doesn't, you know, you want the high stream for the music shows, but for voice, you don't.
I'm still getting no signal even on the low.
Well, try using iTunes rather than QuickTime.
Okay, how do I find you on iTunes then?
Open that M3U file in iTunes.
So if I click on the Listen Live high speed.
No, let's stick with low speed.
Okay.
Well, so, just to start with, that downloads an M3U file. Find that M3U file and open it with iTunes.
Because it should have saved.
Yeah, I know. It does not download the file.
Well, it has to download the file if it says it, if it's opening QuickTime. Inside of iTunes, there's an open stream command, and then you can paste that URL into iTunes. So if you right-click on the Listen Live and copy that URL, which is the same as downloading it and then opening it in QuickTime. Opening it in iTunes. And then in iTunes, there's an open stream command to open that M3U stream.
Yeah, the thing is I can't get the file to download.
Well, then right-click on it and copy the URL from the website.
The file has already downloaded.
Well, I'm looking in my download folder, and it's not.
Okay, right-click. Go to the Jazz 90.1 page.
Okay, I'm there.
right-click on listen via the low bandwidth stream.
Okay. Got it.
And select save link as.
Okay, I can do that.
Or you can just copy link.
Sorry, save link, one or the other.
Okay, I put it to save.
Okay, so now you've saved that file.
Yep, I got that file.
Right, and then go into iTunes.
Now I should be able to go and open that.
Right, open that with iTunes.
Yeah, okay. All right. And I'm sure that's going to work. The only thing is, this is my fault now, not yours. I saved it. What I want to do is move it over to...
Well, you can do that. Honestly, I think we kind of have to move on.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But
if you're still
having problems, call us back.
For the Ustream, you need to have Flash installed. Ustream requires Flash. So if you don't have Flash installed, you won't get the Ustream. So that may be another issue, too, because he said he couldn't get the Ustream stream either.
Right. There's a lot to this.
Yeah, every time you try to play some sort of media from the internet, you need a player program for that media type. And the audio stream uses an MP3 streaming function, so you need something like iTunes or probably Winamp can do MP3 streaming on Windows, MPlayer on Unix. And then for the Ustream, it's a Flash video, so you need the Flash player installed. And I bet Google is also Flash for the
Hangout,
yeah.
No, they're using the H.
That's right. Yeah, the Hangout is probably their own H.264, probably. But the YouTube stream may be Flash.
It may be, but they're trying to keep all new things in H.264.
Yeah.
They're also among the many, many, many groups like Apple who are trying to kill Flash dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is James from Rochester, New York. Welcome, James. What's your question?
Hi, I have a battery question. Toshiba sent me a new battery for my laptop, and I started using it, and it didn't work. It started charging itself, and it got up to like 80%, and then all of a sudden I noticed it would drop down to 4% in a minute. Then go back up. It was real erratic. Somebody told me that I should, there was supposedly a brand new battery factory, run it completely dry and recharge it.
Yes.
Because when they come like that, sometimes they're not proper.
They're not properly, well, they're not necessarily improperly charged, but the system needs to understand that battery.
Okay.
This whole business of 80%, 40%, 70%. That's a wild guess until that battery is, for want of a better word, understood.
Conditioned. It could be 80% of 3 minutes.
Right.
Oh.
So if you drain it dry.
That's what I'm doing now.
And then let it charge completely.
Okay.
You know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, whatever it takes.
Okay.
But don't use the laptop during that time.
Oh, don't use it when it's charging?
Right, now this first time.
Okay, then I'll do that tonight.
Yeah, so what that should do is once it's drained, turn it off, let it charge overnight, and tomorrow it should be okay. If it's not, do it one more time.
Okay, then that should make it okay.
Yeah, theoretically.
Unless there's something wrong with the computer's charging circuitry.
No, because I have a spare old battery, and when I use that, it's perfect.
Oh, there you go. Then yeah, all right. Then it just needs to condition that battery.
As a matter of fact, it just ran dry now. I'm going to take it out, use the old one today, and then put it in tonight and recharge it.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I had a customer once where they kept going through batteries. It wouldn't charge. It turned out it was the charging circuitry in the computer.
Right.
Which was weird because it ran from AC okay. So theoretically, power's getting into the computer. It just didn't make it to the battery.
You're right.
Which is a little crazy there. How does that happen?
Right. Well, as we all know, it's computers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had an interesting problem yesterday. I went to pull out. I have an older laptop that has been sitting next to my desk on the floor. And I kept the power cord plugged into it. Not into the wall, just into it, so I wouldn't lose it. right? So it was attached to the thing. So I pulled it out yesterday to set it up and do stuff with it. And I discovered that the cat had chewed through the connector at the end. Not all the way through, but at the other end, that was all the way through. So I couldn't charge it at all. I'm pretty sure it's not the battery. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour, and for no discernible reason, you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Hey, before we go any farther or further, let's talk about a couple of things. One, we're on the IRC chat at Octothorpe Soundbites on any IRC channel. Easy enough to join. There's a dozen or so people in there right now. You can also join us on the Google Hangout. There are two ways to do that. If you just want to listen in, you just need to go to YouTube and search for Soundbites or search for Nick Francesco, and you should be able to see it happening. Alternately, of course, you can actually be part of the Google Hangout. But in order to be part of the Google Hangout, see, the way Google Hangouts work is you can't save it to YouTube if it's a public Hangout. I don't know why. Don't ask me. So what you have to do instead, shut up. That's simple. Because.
That's blunt. That's very direct. No question of status on that one.
See, exactly. So what you have to do is you have to go to, I have to set a circle, and it becomes part of that circle. So far I've got about 16, 17 people in that circle. So those are the only people who can join the Hangout. So if you want to join the Hangout, what you need to do is to send me a note in Google Plus that says, put me in the Soundbites circle so that next week you can be part of the deal. However, of course, it'll be available on my YouTube channel later, so it'd be all right, too. And that's the way you do that. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is let's not forget that we're having a wonderful new toy to play with, and I need your help. One of the things that people are saying all the time, I forgot the show was on Saturdays, I missed the show last week, yada, yada, yada. Well, it's why we have the archives. But if you want to listen live, there's no other choice but to actually listen to the show during the noon to 2 hour. So how do you remember that? Well, we've teamed up with the nice folks at MyMinders, and we have a great little deal here. If you have a smartphone, go to our website, soundbites.org, and scan the QR code and send that resulting text off. And every Saturday, about 15 minutes before the show starts, you will be reminded that the show is indeed coming on in 15 minutes and where and et cetera. If you don't have a smartphone but you can still do texting, you can still be part of this. Type the words join Soundbites. Join is one word, Soundbites is another word, and remember, it's bites with a Y. And you just text that message to 740-473-6463. That number in Bayonne, 740-473-6463. And again, every week you'll be able to, you'll get the text message about 15 minutes before the show starts. Now, a couple of caveats. First, standard text messaging rates apply, yada, yada, yada. You know all of that. The second thing is, of course, text messaging is the least important function according to the carriers. So sometimes, and it is rare, but sometimes text messages don't go through in a timely manner. We have no control over that. That's nor do the folks at MyMinders. It's strictly a carrier problem. The cool thing to know is that your phone number never gets shared with anyone. Even those of us here at Soundbites cannot see your phone number. There are no ads. There will be no spam ever. You only get the reminders that you request. You can cancel at any time. They have a great privacy policy. We have a link to that on our site. The other interesting thing is that you can get other, you can text help. It'll give you all kinds of information. My favorite is explain sound bites, and it'll send you back America's longest running computer show. I love that. But that's cool. We would love, the folks at MyMatters, and I will simply say this out loud, they've given this to us for free, but they'd like to be the beta testers, which means we need people at about 27 right. I would love to have more of you sign up. Not even if you don't want to get them regularly, you can stop it after but for the test period to help them stress over. Please, I'm asking everybody who listens to sign up. You'll get one text message a week. Actually, you'll get a text message when you sign up. From then, you'll only get one text message at 11:45 every Saturday. And we would love it if you would do that to help us stress test this app, whether you stick with it or not, whatever. We'd love to have you do that. So please, you can find it on our homepage at soundbites.org, bites with a Y. But you can also just text to 740-436-463. That's 740, I remind. I love it. So please, if you can help us out with this, like I said, I'm more and most interested in helping them with their stress tests. So if you do that, we'd be both thrilled and delighted. Thank you very much. That's really all I have to say about that. But now I'm going to read about Winston. You may remember Winston's private beta launch back in August, but the Dream Adventures back startup is ready to officially launch its digital assistant app in the App Store. Winston is a bit like Siri in that the smart digital voice gives you information direct from your smartphone. However, unlike Siri, Winston doesn't listen, he just talks. Because, of course, man. The idea is that the Winston app can give you a morning briefing of everything that's important to you while you go about your routine. You can choose Winston as he does his thing, showing you pictures of status dates, tweets, news items. Winston wakes you up with a morning, your name here, and dives straight into the weather forecast in your area. Then it moves on to the important posts on your social feed in the loop with what your friends are up to. After that, Winston starts in on the popular news stories at the moment, both on a local level and a world level. It even parses some news based on categories like technology and business. Winston has a bit of trouble figuring out how to do that, but they're working on it. For example, a status up an old school friend mentions how excited she is to see her relatives for dinner. Winston explains that she's looking forward to the necessary groceries, which is what Winston believes was the important part of that update. Still, Winston's ability to translate a number of headlines into speech for you can become incredibly useful. Throughout the briefing, users can skip ahead, swipe to go back, pause, get back to their home screen. On the home screen of the app, all the individual sources, just Twitter or tech news or whatever, have their own briefing. So, our question to you, are you so important that you need to hire someone to read the news to you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. I don't know. I'm much more a visual person than an auditory person. So for me, in general, if I'm going to want to see what the weather is and read the news and stuff like that, I prefer to see it rather than hear it. But that's just me, I guess. And so I suppose there are people who want the news read to them. Of course, in general, that's a problem in terms of accuracy and stuff like that. As it said, Winston is early days, so it's very difficult to get some things well done.
So do you consider listening to audiobooks, reading, or listening?
I consider it listening.
Yeah.
I am much more visual than an auditory person. Part of it is because I have tinnitus, and half the time all I hear are the voices in my head. But in general, you'll find that... I personally am not so much an auditory person. So somebody reading the news to me, I suppose. In the car, of course, that would be incredibly useful.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to pay attention to anything but the driving and the noise.
Yep.
So I suppose as your own personal radio station, it's not a bad idea. But then you'd really want your own personal radio station. I mean, it would be nice if it were like a real radio station. It would give you the news. If it knows you're in the car, it gives you traffic.
Yep.
You know, it gives you the weather every 10 minutes. I mean, there's an app.
Yeah.
Copyright 2013 Nick Francesco, if you're going to make that, talk to me. But that would be actually kind of useful. But this other business, I don't know how useful that is to me. I guess that's just me, but that's the way that is. That's the way that is.
My Flash player crashed.
Ah.
So I can't stream on Ustream.
Okay.
It keeps telling me
it's Flash. I hate Flash.
I know. So I got to reboot the computer.
Which cuts the
audio recording.
Well, you can do that.
So next
at the top
commercial,
of the hour.
Right? Next commercial, you have to pause the sponsorship out a little longer so I can reboot the computer.
Or just wait to the top of the hour when it is a little longer. Exactly. You know what? It's technology. Sometimes technology stinks. What are you going to do?
No control over that.
No control over that is right. It's an interesting situation. We've only got the three of us in here. I would love to have more people in here. We don't. I don't know where we put them.
You know, just setting things up here now. It's taking us longer and tearing things down, getting all the cameras set up. I'm still trying to set up my new tablet again.
Right, right. Awesome. It's a problem. It's a problem. And then when George comes in for his show, we've got to be out of here in like 11 seconds.
Yeah, we've got...
So we just grab and run and then put stuff away outside.
Yeah, we're just grabbing stuff and I'm dragging out here with wires using my microphone cord here for the headset, dragging behind me because I'm grabbing the cameras and everything else. And it's...
That's right.
It's amusing.
If anybody out there would like to underwrite us to the tune of a few million dollars so we can build a new facility somewhere... that would do it for us. Also, you can give us a call right now, even if you just want to ask a question. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And for those of you who did sign up for the to get their MyMinders this week, if you didn't get it, please send me an email. I need to remember that at some point, somewhere along the line. And those of you who did get it, thank you very much. Appreciate that that you joined. Stick around for a while. We'll see what happens. It's just a simple little, hey, Soundbites is coming in 15 minutes on Jazz 90.1 or Jazz901.org. And that's really all there is to it. It'll help you remember. It'll help us. It'll help us get some stress testing going on this thing so that we know what the heck is actually going on. So we appreciate that you're doing that. I personally appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's good to know. We're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller is Jim from Greece, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
It is that.
I'm asking about a Windows 7 question. If it's anything that's in Windows 7 that would allow you to generate a text listing of all the applications that you have loaded onto your computer.
Well, one way you can do it is you just go into your program files folder, do select all and copy, and then paste that list into a text processor.
Well, you can do, the easiest way to do that is to go, well, I think this works. I know you can do DIR.
Pipe it to a file, yeah. At a command prompt.
At a command prompt, go into the program folder, right?
Yes.
And then type DIR space greater than symbol space and a file name. And what that does is send a directory listing instead of to the screen, it sends it to the file. I believe on Windows, if you type DIR space dash one space greater than space file name, it sends it as one entry per line.
Yes. Okay. I will try that.
That will at least give you the folder names.
Okay.
And then I have.
Will it automatically drill a path down through the subfolders?
No.
Dir command.
Well, the display all the different folders is DIR space forward slash W. And you can also do slash P, because P will then pause. It'll give you a screen full of folders. You hit the space bar, it'll go to the next page.
And then, if you pipe it to a file, then it will save all that to
correct.
The file.
Yep.
Excuse me.
The other thing that I have that I've played with is there's a program called TreeSize.
TreeSize,
and they have a free version as well. And what it will do is it will give you a hierarchical list of all of your files in all of your folders and calculate their sizes. So I use that to try to find out how much space is being used in some places, but it does give you a list of everything in the folder you tell it to calculate.
And that was called TreeSize?
TreeSize.
TreeSize.
Free, yeah. It gives you the size of your file tree.
Well, of course, there's also just the tree command, which is built in.
Yeah.
And that does much the same thing. All right, except you don't get the sizes. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, that's Soundbites, on the greatest jazz station on Earth, Jazz 90.1 FM.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Oh, dear. Microsoft is in the early stages of a major shift as the world's largest software company begins to compete with its vendor partners by releasing its own Windows hardware. While some believe the strategy is sound, since Microsoft partners are too reliant on Windows to put up much of a fight, one former Microsoft exec thinks the company is basically malfunctioning by encroaching on its partners' businesses. Instead, he thinks Microsoft should be dominating the social networking space. "It seems to me that Microsoft is basically malfunctioning," Joachim Kempen said. Kempen joined Microsoft in the 80s and was with the company for nearly 20 years. "Back in the late 90s, we had our own tablet under development," he said. "It never saw the light of day. When I left in 2002, people were talking about social media. We were selling phone software. But we didn't take advantage of any of that. I'm not a big fan of Facebook. I'm on Facebook, but the program is so confusing and user unfriendly." Yeah, we get used to Facebook, but we forget how it's not as friendly as it could be. "I'm not a big fan of Facebook." Oh, I just read that. "Its value lies in over 1 billion people using it and the network which runs it. The user investment is immense. Microsoft should take advantage of that and do a next generation of Facebook and do it right," Kempen said. "People would use it if they could transfer their posts with one mouse click. A Metro-like Facebook clone. And Microsoft would look way cooler than it does today. Instead, the company produces its own hardware, the Surface tablets, and tries to compete with Apple while pissing off its loyal hardware manufacturers." Oh, my God. That's a direct quote. The former executive also called the Xbox a crummy product and thinks Microsoft should spin it out. So, what do you think of Microsoft's hardware products? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. I tell you, back in the day of the Apple II, the number one manufacturer of CPM, the number one sales of CPM in the world were from Microsoft, because they made a CPM board that plugged into the Apple II. And they sold probably a gazillion of them, mainly because they were, it was a much more mature operating system than the original Apple OS. And many, many people were used to using some form of Unix already. So CPM, which it was very similar to Unix, except, of course, it reversed.
Oh, the slashes were the other way.
Oh, the slashes, and it reversed. Well, no, it reversed the parameters. So their pip command, that was essentially a copy command, was destination, space.
Source.
Oh, source. Why? Well, that way they wouldn't get sued.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So, at any rate, that's the deal there. And It's kind of amazing to me that Microsoft is having this problem. I'll tell you what, I have used a Microsoft tablet, the Surface RT, the lower end one. I was impressed. The stuff that it can do is pretty neat. And if you learn, there's a one of the problems that it has is that most of what you need to know is hidden from you. You need to know that you swipe from the left to do one set of things and swipe from the bottom to do another set of things and swipe from the top to do another set of things and swipe from the left to do another set of things. But once you learn that, and then whether you type fast or slow, do different things and blah, 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 blah. But once you learn that, you get facile with that as the person who owned this tablet was. There are some pretty amazing things you can do with this thing. I was kind of impressed. It's fast. It's pretty nice. The Pro is a full blown computer for $500, so it's not a bad deal. It's small and light.
But that's the big confusion in the Microsoft tablet is there's the Windows RT tablets and then the Windows Pro tablets.
Right.
And you buy the relatively cheap Windows tablet, which is actually running RT, can't run Windows apps. It has to run RT apps. And so we're seeing confusion right in the marketplace about which thing you buy.
Although you can't. Now, what's interesting is that it automatically hooks up to SkyDrive, which is Microsoft's cloud.
Yep.
You get 7 gigs of storage there.
Unless you had an old Live account, then you get 25 gigs.
Then you get 25 gigs, exactly right.
I've got that one because I've had my Xbox a long time.
Right. I should check my Live account, see if I'm...
I haven't logged in ages, but yeah, I got 25 gigs.
but with that, there is what looks to be a full version of Office on the RT tablet.
Yeah.
Now, you can't save anything locally. Right, because there's local storage, like so many devices nowadays, but you can store things directly into the cloud.
Yeah, we see some of the similar confusion in the Apple world with iPad and Mac is that they are two completely different platforms, and if you buy a program on one device, it will not work on the other device.
Right.
Fortunately, many programs, especially if they're designed for sharing, they'll make versions for both Mac and iPad, and then quite frequently you'll find them for Android as well, and now we're starting to see some of those come out for Windows RT. So a program like Evernote, which is designed to synchronize your notes across your devices, they have a Mac version, an Android version, and an iOS version.
For the longest
but it's a
time
different
I used
program on each platform.
Yeah, for the longest time I used Evernote, and I don't know why I stopped, really. Because I started using Google Docs, Google Drive more. But interestingly, for me at least, this thing was fast. Everybody says that I hate Microsoft and blah, 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 and I don't. I really don't. I just think that for the longest time, they have underperformed. They have so much potential, and they simply weren't meeting it. But I will tell you, this tablet is pretty nifty. Again, there's a lot of hidden stuff. You have to invest a lot of time and effort in learning to use it. But if you do, and it is very different from anything you've ever used before, so you don't, there's no transferable skill set here.
Right.
But once you learn to use it, it's pretty nifty. I got to say that.
I give you that. But you know where I get a little gun shy as far as Microsoft? They have a real bad track record of starting something up, getting it going, and then they abandon it. And then you've put all this time and effort into doing this. And they say, "Oh, sorry, it wasn't cost effective for us, and we're bailing out."
It's interesting. They've done it both ways. They'll release crap for 3 or 4 or 5 versions, and then they get it right, and it catches on.
Yep.
Or they'll release it, and no one catches on, and they abandon it. So, so sometimes the crap is good, sometimes the crap is bad.
Speaking of crap, the Nokia Lumia Windows Phone. If you own one, be very careful. It must be turned on to charge. With most phones, you turn them off, you plug them in, they charge faster.
Yeah.
With a Lumia phone, you turn it off, you plug it in, it turns on.
Mm-hmm.
If you then turn it off while it's plugged in and charging, It may, in fact, now go into an infinite loop and never be usable again. You have bricked it.
Ooh.
So be very careful to make sure that when you plug it in, don't try to turn it off.
Okay.
Just leave
That's
it on.
Counterintuitive.
It is completely counterintuitive. It is also counter-workable if you turn it off.
That's
you're done. Yeah. You're completely done at that point.
Oh, well.
It's a hidden problem. I haven't seen much about it out in the community yet. Uh-huh. So if you have a Lumia, Nokia Lumia Windows phone, don't turn it off. Simple enough. You turn it off not all day long if it's unplugged.
Oh, I saw somebody with one of the new Galaxy phone tablet.
Yeah. My friend Emily has the
Galaxy. Oh, that is a nice, bright, big screen.
It's beautiful.
It's like, dang!
Yeah, my friend Emily has the phone.
That might be my next purchase. My contract is up in June.
It's a nice phone.
So I'm already looking it over, and my daughter was going, but Dad, it's awful big. And I go, yeah, and I've got awful old eyes.
Exactly. That's exactly right, you know?
Yeah,
everybody says, well, it's too big. You know what? No, maybe for you it's too big. Shut up. I don't care.
I mean, I put it here on my side of my hip, and, you know, I love being able to do the apps and everything else. And some of the apps, believe it or not, I wind up using at work.
Yep.
Like I've got one for percentages.
Yep.
Discounting stuff and that type of stuff. I use that. Or just other notes that I want to remind stuff and that. And boom, it's there. The other thing I like, and this is with the with that bigger one, is put like Google Drive on it and be able to get some of the stuff there. Of course, right now, I use my tablet.
Right.
And I was doing it at work. A couple of folks says, oh, I'll bring up some photos. And they go, oh, because they wanted to see some of the stuff that I had. So I just go up to my Google Drive, and they're seeing all these photos I got. I go, wait a minute. How big is that thing? I go, 32 gig. How much space do you still have on it? 27 gig. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
how did they get all up there? And I said, Google Drive.
That was one of the big things that came out early on the Surface, is that there's so much OS and stuff installed that on the 16 gig Surface you've only got 2 or 3 gigs free.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's, you don't need a lot. This is the problem.
You can take a lot of that stuff off.
Yeah. We are used to saying how much storage is available.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is how much storage is in the cloud.
I've
got 105 gig of Google Drive, and I forget how much it costs per year because I'm not paying for it yet. I bought a Chromebook, and that comes with 100 gig. And I've got 2 years of that for free.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking I may never worry about that. I just pay for it. It's cheap. I remember it being cheap. I don't remember the exact number.
Mm-hmm.
But for 100 gig in the cloud, not a problem. And honestly, how often am I somewhere where I don't have network access? Truly, how often am I somewhere where I don't have network access?
See, even on my phone.
And then you have your phone if you don't.
And that's just it. I have my phone.
You got to turn your mic on, Steve.
Yeah, you got to turn your mic on if you're actually going to turn it. It is on.
No,
you know, I just turned it on. You hit it.
Oh, all right.
Oh, accidentally.
And I've got my phone. When we take a train somewhere or when we're at a beach somewhere, I can set up my phone as a hotspot and get on. In fact, I got to tell you this story. I have a Lenovo Excite LE10 LE. I don't care. It's a tablet. It's a beautiful 10-inch. Incredibly light, beautiful, beautiful tablet.
Mm-hmm.
It had a problem. One problem.
Hmm.
I could not stream video from home. I don't know why. It worked from work.
Mm-hmm.
It worked from my phone. It worked in cafes and restaurants. I could not stream it from home. It just didn't like my router, apparently. I don't know. There was an update recently. And of course, I couldn't get the update because I was home, but I set up my phone as a hotspot because it worked fine with my phone, got the update, and now it works perfectly.
Anywhere else.
With my home network as well.
Cool.
So I am very pleased with that, but had I not had the phone to set up the hotspot, I would have had to wait till I got into work the next morning. I'm not good at waiting. Patience is not actually
well, that was
my
like
strong
me, suit. Me was trying to set up this tablet. I couldn't find the network here, but Steve was nice enough to set it up through sharing his. And that's the same with my phone. I use very little of my data plan.
Right.
Because like you say, there are so many free Wi-Fi networks around. If I'm somewhere and I really need to surf the web, I tap into those free networks.
Of course you do.
And I don't use very little of my data plan. So when they say, oh, you know, you could get this much for that much more, I go, no, don't need it.
Don't need it.
No.
Don't need it. And so when I go somewhere with my tablet, I know I'm going to find Wi-Fi somewhere, whether I have to instigate it myself with my phone or I find it somewhere. I don't worry about that. So even when I bring my Chromebook places, if I want to get work done, I can get onto my Google Drive. I can do all the stuff I want to do. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents on Google Drive. By the way, if they're real Google Drive documents, they don't actually take up any of your space. I love that. I absolutely love that part. So I've got hundreds of documents, and the only space I'm using is the 3 PDF files I've got up there right now. So I may have to start. I may have to start doing something with the. What you call it? Where is that? Oh, there it is. It's here. Where'd it go? I'm very confused. All right. I was confused and now I'm not. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes. It's the top of the hour, so it'll be a couple more than a couple of minutes. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. If, by the way, you're on the Ustream, it's turned off for a moment. Oh, it's back up? Oh, all right then. So we're going to take a break. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back with more sound bites on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And the panoply of technology in this room is astonishing. We're running...
It's scary.
We're running an IRC chat at Octothorpe Soundbites. We're running a Ustream at Soundbites Radio.
Yeah.
And we're running a Hangout, which is available on my... YouTube page. I noticed, and this is simply my own stupidity, I started the Hangout. I said make it a Hangout on the air, and I opened this up, and I thought, okay, it's a Hangout on the air. Then people said to me, oh, it's not there, and I said, it's got to be there. I started it up, right? Then up in the corner, I see this big red button that says Start Broadcast.
Oops.
Oh, it doesn't apparently automatically start. It doesn't start until you hit the button. So I've hit the button, and now it's started, and life should be okay.
Ray and Al were asking, you know, because they saw me bringing the camera and that, and they go, yeah. So what, you guys have the one camera? I go, no, we have four.
Yeah.
They go, what?
Well, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if he joins.
6, 7.
Yeah, I counted you. That
one, okay, yeah. But they go, well, how many guys, you know, how many get on the stream there? I go, well, we've been known to max that out back here behind me, the folks on the stream. I mean, like today, we're up to 96.
Yep.
And that's not counting what's watching on, you know,
well, off some the of them probably double watching, but still, yes.
Yeah, but still and all. And then off the Hangout and all everything else. So we have well over 100 plus listeners that are either on the, you know, internet listening to us,
yep,
or through the Google Hangout.
And yet, not all of them have signed up for reminders.
See, that's what I was getting at. I was trying to segue in there for you to explain to the folks what is the reminders. You like
see that?
That?
Yes,
I did.
Richard is saying he has not signed up yet. Here's the deal, folks. We've got a terrific deal with the folks from MyMinders. They have a new app they are asking us to beta test, so we get to use it for free, which is very exciting. But the point of a beta test is they want to stress test it. And they thought, well, we've got a huge number of tech-savvy listeners, so they'll, I'm sure, help us out. But so far, most of you have not helped us out. And what we need you to do is this. We need you to join our, I don't even know what to call it, our group. Yeah. On the MyMinder site, and it's real easy to do. You don't even have to be at your computer. If you are, go to soundbites.org, our home website at soundbites.org, bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, and you'll see a QR code there. If you have a smartphone, you can scan that QR code, send the resulting text, and every week at a quarter of, you'll get one message. Well, you'll get an acknowledgement record that says you've joined.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, once a week, you will get one message that tells you that Soundbites is going to start in about 15 minutes. If you don't have a smartphone, you can still do this by simply texting join Soundbites. And of course, Soundbites is all one word, to the phone number. And that phone number is 740-473-6463. That's on the website as well, but on our website as well. But again, that number in Bayonne, 740-473-6463. Or if you prefer, 740-I-REMIND. And standard text messaging rates apply. And the basic idea is they've asked us to help them stress test this. And the only way that's going to work is if you folks all sign up. We've got about 27, 28 people signed up now. That's a very small number compared to the number of people I know are listening. If even just the 100 of you who are currently listening on live sign up in some way, live sign up, that will help. And for those of you who, the 300 and more, almost 400 of you who weekly download the podcast, would also sign up during the week. It's just for the test. After about a month, I'll let you know you can stop getting it if you want to. It's just as easy to stop. Because I want to know two things. I want to help them stress test this. That's important to us because they came to us to ask us to do this. But secondly, I want to know that you're not going to get any spam. If you look at their privacy policy, I've got a link to it on our website. No spam, no ads. Ever, and I want to believe that. I know it says from my minders at the bottom of the thing, but that's, I suppose that's okay. But in general, none of that stuff. So please, I would love it if you would help us out by signing up to get these reminders. It's one text message a week for a month that theoretically doesn't, for 99.99% of you, that's not going to put you over some sort of limit if you don't have unlimited texting. But please help us out. I'm asking this as a favor, not just because, you know, we want bragging rights that we're way up there, although that's lovely too. But we want to make sure that they put faith in us that we could help them stress test this. And I have faith in you that we can do this. So please sign up. Do it right now. It only takes, depending how fast you text, a few seconds. Join Soundbites, 740-473-6463. Get yourself signed up and we'll be in the beta test. I would love it if you would do that. That would be lovely because we told them we'd help them stress test it, and 30 is not much of a stress test.
That's not even a nudge.
Yeah, so please help us out. In the meantime,
I'm thinking you may not be. Oh, here we are. I say you may not be on YouTube. Did you put in the proxy server address on your computer to get out to YouTube?
Son of a pup on a stick. YouTube address. Dang, dang, dang.
Yeah. We'll see. So, yeah. Was that all? Well, it's the same people hanging out, but I'm
yeah, it's the same people. No, that's it. It's live.
Oh, that's live. Okay, so why am I not getting it over here? That's interesting.
Well, you know why? Because it's not going through here. It's going through Google.
Right. I've got YouTube on both devices. Crazy.
See if that works. It works. Yeah. It looks like it's working.
But I don't see your live stream on the iPad.
Yeah, I just pointed at the, yep, that works. I don't know why you don't see it on the iPad. I don't know.
Weird.
I don't know. That's weird. All right. This is a great story. American Express is upgrading its sync program with Twitter to let cardholders buy stuff by using a hashtag. Starting Monday, Amex customers who sync their cards can buy items if they use the right hashtag. The first such item is a $25 Amex gift card, which will go for $15 if you tweet hashtag buy Amex gift card 25. Other offers rolled out on Wednesday, February 13th, included an Amazon Kindle Fire HD for $149.99, which is a $50 discount, an Xbox controller for $29.99, which is a discount of about $10, and an Xbox 360 4-gigabyte console with a 3-month Xbox Live subscription and 2 game tokens for $179.99, which is the price of the console without those extras. If consumers opt for these items and use the correct hashtags, then they will get a verification from @AmexSync, which will contain a confirmation hashtag. Cardholders then have 15 minutes to tweet the confirmation hashtag to confirm their purchase. If they do so, the item will be shipped to their home within 2 days for free. The program expands on Amex's sync program for Twitter, which rolled out last month. How much... The program expands on Amex's sync program for Twitter, which rolled out last March. That's the original initiative, which rewarded cardholders with the discounts if they used various hashtags. That was a test. Now they're doing it for real. Very, very much like we want you to help us test the MyMinders app. Though the program appears to be breaking new ground, Amex isn't the first company to see potential in Twitter-based commerce, or T-commerce, as they're calling it. In 2012, a startup called Chirpify linked up with PayPal to let users buy and sell things on Twitter using app handles. For Amex, the move may be less about boosting a fledgling e-commerce platform and more about promotion. With each hashtag, users give a tacit endorsement to the program and, by extension, the Amex brand. Would you buy things using a Twitter hashtag? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Man, can I see the potential for abuse here.
Yep. I was wondering when I started reading that that story, what's to stop other people from tweeting under your account and running up your Amex bill? But if you have to reply with... Well, I suppose it is. If you have their account long enough, you tweet out and you get the hashtag back.
The real difference is there's no provision for changing the mailing address.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to buy a car on your Amex card and I stole your Twitter info, I could buy it. I could verify it. That car is still going to be delivered to your house.
So you have to show up at the house.
So I have to be, something the day before you go on vacation.
Or, you know, during working hours when, you know, most people are at work, you show up and, oh, here, I'll sign for it. Yeah, thanks. So just sitting on the porch, you know, enjoying the day, and the delivery guy shows up.
No. And this is why I have tried the straight and narrow. The way you do this is you're out front with a shovel or a rake,
yeah,
depending
working,
on the season.
Yeah, it looks like something, yeah.
So you and dress down so you look like you're working around the house. Excellent. My car is here, you know. The guy shows up with the package, and the first thing you say is, oh, it's my watch, or whatever. So the guy knows that, he's getting this. He knows what this is.
I saw there was a TV show I was surfing through on how scam artists work, and it was an educational show so that you don't get scammed. But they showed off an interesting scam at a restaurant where you basically make friends with the table next to you. The guy dropped his wallet and let the next table find it, and so you're making friends and joking with them and, hi, let me buy you a bottle of wine, and you convince the waitress that they're going to pay for your dinner. And then you leave. And the other way he did it was he goes up to the waitress with what looks like a $100 bill in the little check envelope, and then leans over to the other did you want red or white? And so the person at the table said, I'll take it red. And so the waitress knows that you know each other. And then the $100 bill turned out to be a 10 folded, so you saw 100, and the guy's gone.
Right.
And then the poor waitress gives the combined bill to the new table, And I wish I saw the setup of the show, because it looked like a real restaurant and real people rather than actors. So maybe they, like a lot of these shows, they staged a private dinner and didn't tell anyone what was going on.
You're right.
I used to do that with the murder mystery club in town.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was, you knew there was a murder mystery. So you're having dinner and somebody gets murdered during the appetizer and you have the whole dinner to figure it out.
Right.
But they said that sometimes it's a corporate dinner and they don't tell the people what happens. And then someone gets murdered during dinner. In fact, the mayor, the former mayor of Fairport, Clark, was a big gamer. And so he was in this murder mystery club. And so the one dinner we went to, it was the mayor giving a speech. And somebody shot him.
Jesus.
It was the actual mayor at the time.
Oh, man.
And then Bruce came in as in his inspector's outfit and had to go through all of the rigmarole and find out who shot him. And there are people, the rest of the group is in the audience, you know, being suspects or whatnot. Then he gets background information on people. And so I had fed some information about my wife and her military background, and so he got the report from the FBI in the time it took to deliver the entree. Yeah. So he's leafing through. All right, we see some. There's somebody here with a military background, so they'd know how to handle a gun. You know? Yes. Sergeant Smith. My wife didn't recognize it was her.
Well, that's kind of cool.
It's been a really long time since she was Sergeant Smith.
Right.
Top secret government clearance. You know?
Exactly. I did one once. I did a murder mystery, and they wanted me to be an Uri Geller type of person, a mentalist kind of, you know, not like the TV show now, but, you know, doing the spoon bending and all that stuff. And they said, we can't have you do any of this. I can bend keys.
Yeah.
I can do that. And they said, you want to do it now? I said, no, I have to prepare myself. I'll do it tomorrow. So what I did, and this is the way they do it, folks. I'm tipping the gaff here on this one. What I did was I went out and I bought a dozen different keys and bent them. And then stuck them in different pockets.
Yep.
So when somebody handed me a key, all I had to know is which pocket had the corresponding key.
And you get to pick which key you want when a bunch of people hold up their keys.
Right.
Oh, that one.
Right, and that's exactly right. So what I would do is I would take the key, and I would go through the whole rigmarole. Back in the days before I had arthritis, I could do this. I would palm the bent key, take the real key, swap them in my hand, and just with the tip of the key out, I would do the whole grunting and
facial expressions,
and then have this bent key and hold it up, and everybody would gasp. And I would say, well, now I can't let you go home with this key, so let me fix it for you. And I would unbend it. And when I showed it to everybody, I did the trick, and they were amazed. And I did it again, they were amazed. Then I showed them how it's done, and they were disappointed. Well, that's just a trick. Yeah, I told you it was just a trick. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 20 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hey, I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Hey, before we go back to the phones, I got to tell you about a great new program I found for the Android anything, Android tablet, Android whatever. It's and I think it's available for Macs, too, for iPods. It's called Talkatone, T-A-L-K-A-T-O-N-E. And what it does is, it's available in the App Store. What it does is it lets you use your Google Voice number on an iPod or a tablet as a phone.
Yeah.
Without
having a cellular service and paying that monthly fee.
Exactly. It runs directly over your wireless. So it's very cool. I've got it on my old. I told you I've had an old phone, an old Android phone that's now my iPod. I've turned it into essentially an iPod with Android on it. My music player, my video player, and I've put Talkatone on it. So if I want to, I can actually make calls directly with with my little APOD as long as I have cell service. I do text messaging. I do everything. It's very, very cool. I really like it a lot, actually. All right, we're back to the phones. Our next caller is Henry from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Henry. What's your question?
Hi. I recently switched over from FrontierNet to Google Gmail, and my email now, when it comes in, very often there's something associated with the topic. It says it's a BoxBe, B-O-X-B-E, and that this message is eligible for automatic cleanup. I have a feeling it's some kind of spyware or something. I don't know how I picked it up.
What it's E-O-X-B-E?
B-O-X-B-E.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
It's a mailbox cleaning service.
Is there some way of getting rid of it, or I can't seem to find it in the programs under the control panel.
It may be something you set up on Google, because if it's coming, I mean, see how it works. If it's reading your messages from Google, then it may be happening before it gets to your computer.
Right. Well, I'm wondering how to find and locate it and just get rid of it.
Well, there is a way to do it.
I did, on the internet, I looked it up, and it got some very bad reviews. They were labeling it as a spam type thing.
Well, it claims to be able to clean your inbox by getting rid of more spam and organizing things for families and coworkers.
Yeah, it's junk.
But none of that stuff works very well because it doesn't know what you think is important.
Exactly.
It's trying to guess.
Okay, what you need to do is go into in Gmail,
mm-hmm.
and you really want to do this from the website.
Right.
Go into settings.
Okay.
Then write this down. Then filters.
Settings, filters.
Find the BoxBe filter.
Okay.
It'll probably say something like forward to somebody at BoxBe, skip inbox, delete it, whatever that is.
Okay.
Then delete it. Remove the filter.
Okay.
So and somewhere along the way, you accidentally got that turned on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then once you've deleted that, BoxBe no longer has anything to do with your email.
Okay, let's hope that works.
Yep, let me know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Wait a minute. Is that the same page I found that said it stops working in 2008?
Yeah, you know, it says go to the bottom and do it that way instead.
Okay.
Yeah. See, they've crossed out all the other stuff and put that in instead.
I kind of like that type of redaction because you can see what changed. Yeah. But in this case, it's confusing. Put the whole thing that doesn't work. You don't really need that on there anymore.
Bottom.
Or at the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah. The big thing is somewhere along the line, it probably came in with some other thing he installed.
Yeah.
And there you have it. All right,
Or it said something like, do you want to help clean up your inbox?
Right.
Sure, I'd like that. Misleading.
Yep. All right, our next caller, Jason from Altoona, PA. Hiya, Jason, what's up?
Hi, guys, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the forums, but there's been a bunch of us who've been willing to play the part of guinea pigs and getting Windows 8.
Yeah.
I have to admit, on a Phenom 2 hex core system, I actually get better boot time with Windows 8 than I ever did with Windows 7, which, as you know, Microsoft's normal modus operandi is to increase boot times for the next version of Windows. I know most people are still complaining about the tile system, the old, quote, Metro interface. There are now at least five different applications available. I did try the $5 one from Stardock that I called you guys a couple months ago about.
Right.
And after I did this and mentioned in the forums, one of the other guys mentioned the classic shell option, which I also decided to try. Even though the $5 version... it felt nice to pay for something.
Yep.
You know how that goes.
Yeah.
The free version actually turned out to be a better option, especially in my case with multiple monitors. So if anybody's got the has already picked up the install code while it was a discounted price.
Right.
I recommend they give it a try. You know, for that price, you really can't, with the start menu add-in option, you really can't complain. It's actually a decent system. The only thing that I really wish that somebody could figure out, and it may just be my setup, but there's a tendency for the system to default to the Metro interface and apps. So you'll be doing something and, like, double-click on a video, and it'll want to go to Metro instead of stick with your normal stuff.
Right.
But, like I said, Windows 8 is actually a decent operating system. I've got to give Microsoft credit. I haven't seen any bugs in it that stand out as, oh, ooh, I can't use that sort of thing. You know, if somebody's apps or applications are designed and capable of running on Windows 7 and or Vista, then they shouldn't have much of a problem, if any, upgrading to 7 or upgrading to 8.
Right.
So that it makes it for a nice upgrade path as far as that. And, you know, like I said, the system is just really nice. It's speedy. The one thing that I've noticed, that people are saying, ooh, it's only got a couple of seconds boot time. I think from the way my system operates that Microsoft is kind of playing a game with that. It loads a minimal set of drivers and system function calls at boot and then waits till you log in before it loads the rest to make it appear that it booted faster.
Yep. A lot of systems are doing that nowadays. Linux does it now, too. And it looks like you've booted faster. Well, you have booted faster. It's just that not everything is running in the background like it used to.
That was right. One of the annoying things about the old Windows is that it looked like you were booting, you saw your desktop, but then you couldn't do anything because things were still trying to load.
Right.
Well, I can see my desktop. I want to click on that. No, the taskbar hasn't finished loading in yet. You know, the clock isn't there. You have to wait till the clock starts. Now you can actually work the computer.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the things that we've been saying with Windows 8 is we don't really know if it's inherently all that bad. It's just so different from Windows 7.
It's
going to be a huge learning curve.
Yeah, a major learning curve.
And you know, probably most of our audience are techie geeks, but for the average people, it's going to be such a big difference that they're not going to like it.
Well, businesses, one, can't afford it to have that kind of downtime because it is a major learning curve for folks. And to spend that kind of money when you got Windows XP, which is, you know, very solid. And that's all 8 is Windows 7 on a new shell and a new interface.
And the way most businesses usually work is they throw a computer on the desk and there is no formal training. Here, it's a computer.
Yeah,
use
here you
it.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so that's, I think, going to be the biggest contention. That's why I'm still holding out and wondering if they're going to change that with a revision, say with Windows 9, to give you the option to do the new Metro interface, which is great. The new interface is great for tablets and phones. And that's what it was meant to be, and that's where it should stay, not on your desktop.
Right.
Yep.
Actually, I would have to argue that with a start menu add-on option, I would actually have to say that for businesses, it might actually be a good idea to upgrade. Of course, I don't own one, so I can't speak for the reality. But from my point of view, it might actually be something they should consider because it hides all the techie options so deep into the system now that unless you've already known Windows, you don't know what you're looking for, so you're less likely to go snooping through the system while you're supposed to be doing a spreadsheet or something for your boss.
Right.
But that's just...
That'll happen no matter what version of Windows you do. Folks are always going to... If they're that type of person and want to go snooping, I don't care whether it's Windows 8 or Windows 3.1, they were still going to go looking.
You're right.
Or 3.0.
Or 286.
Yep.
Now, that one predates me a little bit, but... for your last caller with the issue about the spam in the email.
Yeah.
I only caught what I heard. I missed a chunk from when I turned my radio down, but did you say that he had Gmail already?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
well, I don't know why he'd be getting spam. I've got Gmail, and unless I've signed up for something, which you can tell because it's usually something related to it, very rarely does Gmail let any spam get through anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. No, what he had was, somewhere along the line, he signed up for something called Boxbee. B-O-X-B-E. And it's a filtery thing that theoretically, I don't know how what it's supposed to do, but he wanted to get rid of it, and we showed him how to do that. It's just a filter in his Gmail.
Google tries to do that itself now with the important box. It tries to figure out who's important and make that for you.
Right.
I have one of the things I have when Google Docs and or Google Apps was available for the public for trial because of Nick's touting of the Kool-Aid, I gave it a shot, and I found that one of the things that they offer is if you put a special file into the root section of your web server's domain, the Google will then go query the server for that file, and it will actually allow you to set up your email system through Gmail. So yep. I have my personal domain, and if you go and make an inquiry at the web level, it'll go to my web servers. But if you send an email to my domain, it automatically gets kicked over to a special Gmail account.
Yeah, mine Gmail. Too. Mine too. AskNick.com is a Gmail account. And now. Then, and I love it.
I just want to. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's great. In terms of that, I think that that's no longer. You can't get a free domain thing anymore. It used to be you got 10 email boxes for a free domain. If you wanted more, or you paid. Now you have to pay all the way around.
It used to be free for 100, and my company has that because we signed up so long ago.
Right, I've got 10.
Then it was free for 10. It's not free at all anymore.
It's not
anymore.
Free at all anymore.
Ooh,
which is
so if your
sad.
Grandfathered in, which
grandfathered
we,
in, you win.
We got the 10. Right. I mean, because when Jerry switches over, we got the 10.
Yeah, and it's wonderful because now Google worries about everything. I don't worry anymore. And the spam, my spam has dropped from, you know, ridiculous high to semi non-existent. I'm now actually annoyed when I see spam because I don't see it so often at all anymore. So that's kind of nice.
Is it time for me to make two more comments?
Yes, it is. Yes, we have that time.
Dave, I think you're the one who's always touting Security Now.
No, that's me. Yeah.
No, it's Steve.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve. Sorry, can't tell you quite apart on the radio. I'd like to thank you very, very much for that. You piqued my interest so much that I decided to go check it out. And I'm the type who likes to download and archive the entire podcast if it's available, like from your guys' website. I now have 13 gigabytes of Security Now on my hard drive.
Wow. Yep.
I just started an episode.
Jason, you need to get out more.
Well, that's why.
No, he's becoming too much like Steve.
I suggested the Galaxy Media Player a couple of years ago to you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that time, it was the only Android-based iPod option that was designed that way from the get-go.
Right.
This year, with my income tax return, I decided to break down. I'm still within my return policy to take it back, but I got the Google Nexus 7. Again, thank you, Nick. It's a great tablet, and the increased functionality over what I have is wonderful.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a very nice system. My question is, A, have you heard anything about a new version? Because it's the processor is becoming long in the tooth. And B, I like to do some creative writing on my own time, and sometimes I don't have access to the internet, which I know you guys can't believe, but where I live, that is a possibility. Is there a good Android app that can handle the open document format? Because I use LibreOffice on my desktop.
All right, let's start with the new version. Yes, there is a new version coming out. It's a rumor. There's no firm anything at the moment. But there is a new version rumored to be coming out soon, if not shortly, which probably means September, October. But wait till I buy my next one. It'll be out a day later.
Yeah.
yeah. As far as being able to edit OpenDoc stuff, I think there should be one or two, but you can, of course, use Drive in an offline mode.
Okay.
Which means that when you... I have not tried converting in offline mode. But I know when you're in online mode, you can convert any document you've created to an OpenDoc format. So what you could do is write your document offline. When you go online, it will auto-sync back up, and then you download it as an ODF document.
Okay. I'm more worried about just being able to edit it on my tablet. It's already created as an ODF file.
I think... I will have to try this. Dave's got his tablet, but I don't have mine. I will have to try and see if I can edit a document in offline mode on the tablet. I think you can, but I don't know that. And we have to go now.
All right,
we have to take a break. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour, and we're Sound Bites on member supported. Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright. And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 45 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. MacBook Pro with Retina and 13-inch MacBook Air got some mid-cycle improvements under the hood this week with a new 2.6 gigahertz processor for the 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro, new 2.4 and 2.7 gigahertz processors for the 15-inch version, and 16 gig of memory as a top-end spec on the large Retina model. The MacBook's 256 gig version has a new lower price of $1,399, and the 13-inch Retina starts at $1,499 and $1,699 for the base and upgraded configurations. Apple has also updated its upgrade pricing on SSD storage, meaning you can add a lot more disk space to your Mac via custom configuration for a lot less. As with any mid-cycle upgrade, some customers will likely be worried about what happens if they just ordered a new machine before these changes went into effect. But as always, Apple has a 14-day return and refund policy in place to make sure buyers who just took the plunge won't be left in a lurch.
Unless you bought it 15 days ago.
Right. So if you're looking to upgrade your Mac, good for you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And if you're looking to save a little money on a new Mac, we have a bunch of yesterday models on sale now.
Yeah, I bet you do.
They were new yesterday. They're the old model today. Yes. Actually, up to $300 off on some of them because the new models dropped in price.
Right.
So the old models had to drop even more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good number. All right. Our next caller is our friend Scott from Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Scott. What's your question?
Well, I have two things. First of all, when I was waiting for my turn to come on the phone,
yeah,
I noticed something very odd that the stream that I could hear on my computer was 3 seconds faster than what I heard on the phone.
Yeah.
But then David, when Dave greeted me, that turned around. He switched it so that all of a sudden I'm now slower.
Yep.
What I hear on my computer would be slower than what I'm hearing over the phone.
Yeah, the radio is on one delay. The Ustream is on a different delay. But the Google Hangout is on a different delay.
Yep. Yep.
Well, anyway, the reason why I called is I'm calling about my new iPhone. I was excited to get the iPhone because I'm tired of having MiFi around for I don't know how long it was, and it was really too expensive for me to use MiFi for various things. I would incur huge data fees, and so basically I've had MiFi dead. I couldn't get out of the contract, but dead for like 6 months.
Wow.
At this point. Well, I got this new iPhone, and I was excited because it has included in the iPhone the iPhone 5, personal hotspot.
Yeah, that started on the 4S.
Well, I discovered that mine wouldn't work. And
yeah.
After I looked at a lot of reading online and discovered that that Apple and Verizon have signed a deal that Verizon turns it off, and the only way to get it working is that you have to call Verizon, and either you sign one kind of contract, like a tiered contract, or if you're like me and it with unlimited data, yep, you have to pay an extra $30 a month.
Yeah, the same thing happens with AT&T. It's not Apple, it's the carrier. The phone has that feature, and the carrier can decide what to do with it. And both Verizon and AT&T are trying to do everything they can to cancel unlimited data plans because of the money they see they're losing.
Except,
well, I refuse to do that.
Yeah.
And so now I'm paying extra $30 for this personal hotspot.
Except right. I don't think you have to on Verizon.
I tried so hard to get around
that,
and
yeah.
And the reason why I paid full price for this iPhone 5,
right,
so that I
could keep your contract.
My unlimited account.
Yep.
And then when I tried to change this, I couldn't change it. The only way I could get around was by spending this extra $30 a month.
Yeah, both AT&T and Verizon. Well, actually, Verizon offered the personal hotspot feature first. It's been in the phone for quite a few years, but the carriers haven't done it. AT&T always considered that an extra feature you had to pay for. Verizon, for a while, included it with the unlimited data plans, but now they've started to not include it also. And when the iPhone 5 came out with LTE in it, a lot of people were told that because it's an LTE phone, you have to get a new contract and you're going to lose your grandfather.
Wow.
And both AT&T and Verizon have started their family shared bundle plan. So if you have several different phones, you can share a pool of data.
All of you are screwed.
Right. And most of the time, the individual plans were cheaper than that whole shared plan.
Right. So that's the reason you can't do it. Because I know that when Verizon got 4G, the government said you must provide free hotspot because we gave you public spectra to do 4G with. But the iPhone doesn't have 4G. It has LTE, which is the same thing essentially under a different name.
Right. It's AT&T got, well, see, the 4G is a little mucky. The International Telephone Union, the ITU, said that anything faster than the 3G, you can call 4G.
Right.
So AT&T has something that the rest of us called 3.5G.
Right.
But during a system update for the iPhone, the little logo changed to 4G if you had AT&T because it's a little faster, but it's not LTE. LTE is supposed to be the next actual fourth generation, but the terms are getting a little mucky.
Well, then maybe that's
mucky.
It. I've actually got 4 LTE.
Yeah. In fact, most of the advertisements you'll see will say 4G LTE versus 4G, which AT&T is HSDPA.
Oh, that's why they don't have to do that. Okay, that makes sense then. Even though it's Verizon.
Right, there's the different carriers with the different, you know, 3.5G, 3.75G. The LTE is the actual 4G.
Right. So if you don't have actual LTE, you may not fall under this. Okay, that makes sense.
And it depends on when you tried to turn it on how grandfathered into whatever plan you had.
Right.
So it's very frustrating, and people are getting different answers too. Someone will call up, they get one answer. If you don't like their answer, hang up, call again. You get a different person, and you'll get a different answer, and maybe you will get it activated for free.
Yeah, right.
My goodness. Well, I didn't try long enough, I guess.
Well, all right. I'm sorry about that, Scott.
It's okay. At least I got rid of my MiFi.
There's that.
Yeah, it can be cheaper than the MiFi plans.
Yep.
That's right.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Actually, I've got a couple of friends that are using the smaller carrier, the Cricket and the Clear, that it's a much smaller network, but it's often cheaper, and there's fewer people using it, so when it is working, it's faster.
Yeah, right. Well, and Sprint keeps saying that they are unthrottled unlimited.
Their trick is it's unlimited 4G. If you back down to 3G, there's a limit.
Ah. All right, our next caller is Paul from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Okay, this morning at 7:30, the phone rang, which is rare in our household because we're both retired, and it was a young lady saying she was calling from Microsoft.
Yep.
And they picked up some problems with my computer.
Yep, we're seeing this quite a bit.
What kind of BS is going
pure.
On?
It is pure BS.
Okay, that's all. I just wanted to make sure.
Did you string him along?
Yes, I did, and it was a lady with an Indian accent, and I said I was from Pakistan and that I hated Indians.
we've heard of people. This has been happening quite frequently in the last year or so, and one of the things that they do on the phone is they say, "Well, look in your Windows directory for an INF file."
Yes,
and that means you're infected.
Right.
No, that's a standard initialization file. You're going to find lots of those on your computer.
Right.
Yes.
What we think is happening is that it's tech support people in India and Malaysia and where all the outsourced tech support people are, in their own time. On their off hours,
well,
they go back into the call
like
center.
A large office, I heard in the background. She said she was in West Virginia.
They know the words. They know the tech terms. They know the troubleshooting, so they've been trained.
What are they trying to do?
They're trying to get you to download a program and put it on your computer so they can, quote, fix it. But what that does is it puts all kinds of stuff in your computer.
And then they can get your credit card.
They wanted me to go to a website called Show My PC or something.
Yeah. Yes, and that downloads a piece of software into your computer.
Well,
and that's,
could it have gotten in?
Not if you didn't go to the website.
I did go to the website.
Then you need to clean up your machine. There's no question.
That might be a valid program, but what it does is gives the other person remote control of your computer.
Well, and what it said on its website, we do not call people and claim we're from Microsoft.
So they know they've been attacked.
Yeah. Yeah. So
if you didn't download the computer.
Who fixes my computers. I'm 75
yeah,
now.
Yeah, get it to him.
Yes, I will, and
all
I'll
right,
get
we,
it cleaned up. By the way.
No, we got to go. I'm sorry. We got to go. That's it for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Those of you who did not get on, I apologize. Call earlier is all I can tell you to do. Please sign up to get a reminder for next week's show. We really want to blast them out with the stress test. Back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 55 minutes after the hour. You've wasted 2 hours of your life with the longest running computer show in the known universe. George is coming on to give you the best German music you'll ever hear. We are Jazz 90.1.